Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news, interviews from the biggest names in the industry, and game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll. Here's your host, the man with the best beard in Daily Fantasy, Crazy Gaby.
Hello there! Welcome to a very special second edition.
Double Trouble
edition of the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Of course, if you are listening to this and you have not already listened to the trade deadline special that I did with Michael Gallagher from Roto World, you can check that out. This, of course, being the second podcast of the day. I'm benevolent, Justin. By the way, I should introduce you. You are Big Italy 42. I call you Justin. That's Mr. Big Italy to everyone else. And I'm, of course, Crazy Gaby. I don't know if I already said that. I'm so freaking tired right now, dude. The last 24 hours, and the storm's not over yet. I still got, you know, Grinders Live tonight. I got the email alerts. I got all my lineups to build. I got games to watch. Like, when 1 o'clock Eastern time rolls around, I can finally just, like, fall back into bed. I'm going to be so relieved. I'm going to sleep so well tonight. It's been a crazy mess of 24 hours here recently, and I've got about 12 more to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an absolute whirlwind, and it's hard for anyone to keep up with all the stuff that's going on right now. I've been seeing some handwritten lists and things, people going around sending them on Twitter of all the goings-on.
Yeah, that's what I've got. I've got 5 pages of notes in front of me. I guess technically 7 if you want to count. I printed off for the podcast I did with Michael Gallagher a couple hours ago. I printed off a sheet with all the trades on it, then I've marked up notes on that. So I guess technically I've got like 7 pages of notes trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And the reason I did 2 podcasts is just because I wanted to kind of separate the 2 elements. Like the trade deadline podcast was pure long-term outlook. What do these trades mean for the teams? That one's a good listen tonight, tomorrow, anytime down the road. This one, of course, we're going to focus just on the games for tonight. We'll try to get through it as quick as possible because I know this is going up later in the day, and you guys might not have as much time. So I'm going to try to keep this as close to around 30 minutes or so as we can. We'll get through this real quick, Justin. And we're going to approach this podcast as though basically every player who has been involved in a trade is out unless we have confirmation otherwise. So like Ramon Sessions, he is supposed to play tonight. Outside of that, we're just going to pretend everybody else who was traded, and they're doubtful by default. We're just going to pretend they're not playing, so we're not even going to make mention of it. We're just going to go right through these games.
Yep.
Couple of things to get out of the way, a little bit of housekeeping. We are, of course, sponsored by FanDuel.com. We very much appreciate their contributions to keeping this podcast on the air, their contributions to the Daily Fantasy community, and their contributions to your wallet. I'm, of course, talking about the World Fantasy Basketball Championship. They got this little shindig going on in South Beach, Miami. In a couple months, you might have heard of it, the WFBBC, World Fantasy Basketball Championship. $100,000 going to go to the first place finisher. And, Justin, even if you lose, you actually win. $6,000 is the last place prize if you finish dead last in 50th place. That sounds a lot like winning to me, even if you lose.
Not a bad day's work either way.
Nope, I'm not going to complain. Hanging out on the beach, staying at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, getting your airfare comped, $100,000 potentially in your pocket. Can't go wrong there. And you can qualify for as low as $2. Now, tonight, there's a $25 qualifier. There's a $535 qualifier. Give both of those a look. A couple of different price points for you to attack. And continue looking for those World Fantasy Basketball Championship qualifiers in the FanDuel.com lobby. My album of the day, of course, a little thing that I started here with the listeners. It seems like we all kind of like music. A lot of you do. So throw this album your way. It's a band you may or may not have heard of. It's I guess that's true with every band, technically. But this one, a little more obscure than some of the other bands I mentioned. Called Pianos Become the Teeth. It's a post-hardcore outfit. Very, I don't want to say emo-ish. They have a very alternative-y sound, something you would definitely hear maybe playing alongside like the Decemberists or Radiohead. And that's only their newest album. Their old albums, the reason they're labeled as post-hardcore is because their older albums were a little edgier, had some of that screamo vibe to them. And I really like, though, I always thought they were decent. I really like what they've done with their most recent album. It's just so chill, so relaxing, very ambient. You can light a candle, turn the lights off in your office, build some DFS lineups. I guarantee it just sets the mood perfectly. So Pianos Become the Teeth. The album is called Keep You. And let me know on Twitter, if you listened to it, what you thought of it, at CrazyGaby on Twitter. And also, if you have any music suggestions for me, I'm a huge audiophile. I love listening to new albums, new bands. Whenever you guys give me suggestions, I always discover some hidden gems. So leave those on my timeline, at CrazyGaby on Twitter. I'd love to hear what you guys have been listening to lately. One last piece of advice before we get into this, Justin, that I want to give everybody is with the NBA trade deadline comes the opportunity to take advantage of a very unique scenario. There are some sites, FanDuel has actually done an excellent job at eliminating this, but there are some sites that still have players that were traded in the player pool and for their old teams. So like, for instance, Enes Kanter, who of course plays for the Oklahoma City Thunder, will likely not play tonight anyways, is still listed as being on the Utah Jazz, who also play tonight. Now, folks like you and I, Justin, and people who listen to this podcast, they will know to stay away from players like Enes Kanter. But I think there's going to be quite a few folks who maybe don't have the same access to knowledge, maybe don't just have the... maybe they don't care. Maybe they just wanted to play a tournament, and they said it already, and they didn't think to check back and change it. I don't know. I just know that there's going to be probably a... there's going to be a higher than normal amount of dead lineups and tournaments tonight would be my guess.
Yeah, I would think so. And even people who were just a casual fan may have seen some of the news. It's hard to keep up with all of that for any of us. So definitely going to be some people who missed a step or two there.
All right, let's dive right in. The New Orleans Pelicans versus the Orlando Magic. This one's going to be a fast-paced, fun affair. I know the total is only 194. And the Pelicans, of course, favored by 5.5 points. But that doesn't tell the whole story because the Pelicans basically have two players that can do things, basketball things, at the moment. Anthony Davis, of course, probable to play in this one after missing some time before the All-Star break. Drew Holiday still out, and Ryan Anderson also probable. Talking about Tyreke Evans and Anthony Davis, though, as the two players in this one I think I'd like to target.
Yeah, I mean, outside of that, if you look on the other side, maybe Tobias Harris, but we don't really know if he's going to play.
Yep.
And outside of that, I'm not going too much into this game on a huge slate.
Yeah, that's not a lot to love in this one. I will say this, Nikola Vucevic had an amazing game last time out against the New Orleans Pelicans. He put up some big numbers. The Pelicans' defense has been extremely suspect. The individual defense of Anthony Davis is solid. The team defense, which often breaks down, especially in transition, has been non-existent, so... I will say that Nikola Vucevic probably going to find his way into a couple of my tournament lineups. Nothing for cash games. And if we get word that Tobias Harris is confirmed, he is somebody I will be playing as well. And the big thing to look out for tonight, people, James Borrego, named the coach for the rest of the season, no longer an interim stopgap. Keep an eye open to see if he makes any major changes, not just in personnel, but also in the type of offense and defense they are running. They are in desperate need of a shakeup on both ends of the court. Could be some winners and some losers that begin to emerge here in the very short term. So just go ahead and keep an eye on that and make sure you are not somebody who is living in the past if all of a sudden the Orlando Magic change up their style.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
I mean, I wish I had more input on that, but obviously nobody really knows what he's going to do with this. So yeah, just be careful, I guess, would be the advice there.
Absolutely. Wear a fictitious rubber when you roster any Orlando Magic. A digital rubber. When you roster the Orlando Magic this evening. Indiana versus Philadelphia. This, of course, another highly uninteresting game. You take a look at the over-under in this one, and it almost makes you want to vomit. 184 points. Indiana is favored by 8.5. No surprise there, even though they are on the road. And really what this means to me is the Philadelphia 76ers are not going to win, and they are not going to score very many points on their way to losing either. Of course, Michael Carter-Williams out of town now, so that means Tim Frazier likely to step up and start a point guard. No thank you. Not on a 13-game slate. It's really going to be Robert Covington or bust for me. He's the only known quantity on the 76ers. He's going to have a higher than normal usage rate with Michael Carter-Williams gone, and I could see him taking advantage of the smaller and less able-bodied Indiana perimeter defenders.
Yeah, and the fact that his price is up a little bit, so that might scare some people away from him. So he might even be a decent tournament target there, too.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment. And for Indiana, listen, there's one player and one player alone on this team that I have with, you know, good conscience rostered all season long, and it's going to continue that way. It's David West, who was actually flashing some I don't want to say unprecedented, because that really takes into account the scope of his career. But as far as this season is concerned, he was flashing some surprising upside before the All-Star break. I look to him to maybe, you know, lead the offense this evening and maybe put up a nice number. I think he's a great mid-range power forward play to get the job done for you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's getting it done all across the board. I mean, 14 assists his last two games, too. So, I mean, just adding that element right there definitely gives him the upside that he didn't have earlier in the season.
Yeah, they run the offense through him a lot, which is always very nice. We want players that are going to be touching the ball very often. Toronto versus Atlanta. This one, probably a better real-life game than a DFS game, even though the total is 205 points, which is one of the higher totals of the evening. Atlanta minus 5.5-point favorites. Here's the thing, though. There's no real value that you want to take. You know, Toronto just has so many moving pieces, interchangeable parts. You don't see a lot of value guys, especially against a solid defensive team like the Atlanta Hawks. And for the Hawks, like, I guess you can roster Damari Carroll, but man, I don't want to play low usage guys on a 13-game slate. I understand Damari Carroll has been great recently, but yeah, you're really just banking that the peripheral stats are gonna keep you in business, because on any given night, this guy can score in single digits.
Yeah, definitely the upside limited there. And there are some other decent options around that price at small forward. So I'm with you here. There's really no reason to force him into your lineups with so many other options.
Now, there are two underpriced studs in this game that are definitely worth mentioning. Paul Millsap, 7,800, somebody that I will have in a lot of my lineups tonight. Toronto has had some issues defending the interior at times this season. And Millsap, look, he's always going to be around 30 fantasy points. And he tends to flash his upside in games where they really need him to play big, to come up big. He hasn't been as steady of late his past 10 games or so, but I think the All-Star break can do wonders for a player. And I think that extra bit of rest is really going to go. I think, you know, it's just, I think you're going to see a rejuvenated Paul Millsap this evening. His minutes were down a little bit towards the All-Star break. I think that was because they were trying to make sure he stayed healthy, just get him to the All-Star break and get him feeling good again. I like Paul Millsap a ton for 7,800 tonight.
Yeah, his price definitely lower than it was for quite a while. It was in the mid-8,000s, so you got to like him there. And I want to like Al Horford, but I don't like that price tag. So.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of it either. Can you guess who the other underpriced commodity in this game is?
DeMar DeRozan.
That is correct, my friend. DeMar DeRozan, extremely high usage rate, racking up assists, very involved in the offense right now, getting some steals too. He's putting in the work on defense. Listen, if you want to identify a weak link on one of the better defensive teams in the NBA, it's going to be Kyle Korver, who, despite doing his part and performing well, he's still not a lockdown perimeter defender. You have to figure DeMar DeRozan is going to be shadowed by Damari Carroll for some of this game, but I think that the combination of usage and amount of time he sees with a guy like Korver on him will be enough at 6,900 for him to eke out value.
Yeah, I completely agree. His price has still been staying around that price, and I've been taking advantage of it.
A lot of minutes, too. You know, you look at his last 10 games, and you know, the first couple of games in that 10-game span, he was, you know, right around mid-30s, low-30s, but since then they've really kicked up. They feel very confident, even letting him touch around 40 minutes when need be. So.
Yep.
You have to feel good about a guy who has all-star caliber talent and is also going to have the minutes in a close game against a conference rival coming off a lot of rest. A lot of positives here and reasons why you should like DeMar DeRozan. A couple other things in this game. Jeff Teague has destroyed the Toronto Raptors in three meetings this season. Now, obviously, three games, a small sample size, but you have to read at least something into it, because maybe he just smells blood in the water when he sees Kyle Lowry, or maybe he just knows something about the way Kyle Lowry plays defense. Regardless, I think Jeff Teague has finally been, you know, sort of cooling off, and his price has been coming down enough to the point where he's once again playable. You know, when he was in the mid-8,000s, that was a little too much for him. Mid-7,000, 7,400, definitely a price tag I'm willing to invest in some of my tournaments.
Yeah, at that price he was at before, you were pretty much hoping that he got value and there wasn't much upside. But
yeah.
Now definitely some upside in him.
And just to read off those stats, in three games against the Raptors this season, averaging 19 points, 3.7 rebounds, 9.7 assists, and 2 steals per game.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty nice numbers.
Yeah, so basically he's averaging 19 and 10 with 2 steals and 4 rebounds. So a lot of upside here if you believe he can replicate that that sort of train of performances this season against the Raptors. All right. Let's take it on over to the next game. The Miami Heat versus the New York Knicks. And first off, just want to send thoughts and prayers out with Chris Bosh. You know, of course, it looks like he has blood clots. I know Coach Spoelstra came out and said, hey, don't jump to conclusions. If it is indeed blood clots in his lungs, that's called a pulmonary embolism, I believe. I actually almost had that happen to me a couple years ago when I shredded my knee. That was actually been about 4 years ago. I had a blood clot in the back of my calf that was very close to breaking off. They said it would have traveled through my bloodstream up to my lungs, and at that point, it's anybody's guess as to what happens. Like, literally telling me that, you know, death is a possibility when this sort of thing happens to you. So, obviously, much more serious than basketball at this point. Please get better, Chris Bosh. You know, you're one of the better ambassadors of the NBA. We hope you come out of this unscathed and are ready to suit up again as soon as you're feeling okay.
Yeah, definitely really scary stuff. And so you got to assume they're going to take caution with this, and rightfully so.
Now, we do have to talk about the DFS implications of this. You know, regardless of how serious the subject matter is, that is our job. We have to do that. Of course, no Goran Dragic in Miami yet. No Chris Bosh out there. That does mean there's going to be a hefty amount of usage on the table. There aren't a lot of players that elicit a high amount of usage from the Miami Heat, which basically leaves us with Dwayne Wade. You know, he sat out quite a few games before the All-Star break, getting healthy. He's had that extra rest of the All-Star break, and he was planning on playing before. It's not like, you know, hey, I got to soldier up and try to win the game because these two guys aren't playing. He was planning on playing before all of this happened. So you got to figure Dwayne Wade is healthy, at least for now. I feel like you have to give him a look in cash games and in tournaments tonight. The price tag, $7,700. Sort of ridiculous for a guy against one of the worst teams defensively in the league who has shown that he could basically be like a constant 40-plus fantasy point performer when he is the man.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you mentioned, I mean, his price at $7,700, he was right around mid-eights up there with Jimmy Butler. And I remember a bunch of nights it was a decision between the two of them. And he more than often paid off that price tag. And especially with no Bosh now, I don't see any reason why he can't have himself a really nice night against the Knicks tonight.
There are a plethora of shooting guards, starting with Giannis Antetokounmpo at $6,700, all the way up to Jimmy Butler at $8,800, that are all within a $2,000 or so price range of one another and all have great matches. Shooting guard is loaded tonight. We can agree on that, right?
Yeah, for once.
Yeah, shooting guard is absolutely loaded this evening. But if you're asking me who I'm taking in my cash games tonight, it's going to have to be Dwayne Wade. I just, at that price point, the role and the matchup, I don't see how it could be anyone else over him.
No, I agree with you, because there's really no other option. It's not like Miami in their current state is going to blow anyone out, not even the Knicks likely. So, and Wade, we've seen plays big minutes, even when the game's out of hand. So you really can't be worried about that either.
Moving along to the New York Knicks. Jason Smith, as strange as it is to say, Jason Smith really the only player that I could see myself rostering for the Knicks. I mean, do you see anybody else on this team that you would even consider throwing in your lineups tonight?
Not even thinking about it. Not at all.
Yeah, it's and Jason Smith, you know, if he's going to play minutes in the low to mid-30s, and he's going to be taking all those shots, I think you got to give him a look, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And 5,100? I mean, yeah, if it were a smaller slate, maybe you consider someone else. But really, with this many games, I mean, Jason Smith, good price. He's a solid cash game guy, and he's shown some nice upside, too.
Let's take a look at Hassan Whiteside for a second, because Mr. Brightside wasn't feeling so hot before the All-Star break. He kind of came back and played a little earlier than he should have, trying to pick up a couple extra wins, trying to soldier through it. Subsequently, his price has dropped a little bit, only 20.8 and 34.8 fantasy points in 19 and 28 minutes, respectively, two games before the All-Star break. He was getting up into the mid-30s in some of his contests before that, at least getting around 30 minutes if there was no foul trouble. How do you expect him to perform tonight, $7,700? You know, kind of a rematch against the New York Knicks, who he didn't do much against when a lot of people were on him before the break. Do you expect him to come out and just go ham sandwich this evening?
I think a lot of what happened before, I mean, he only played 19 minutes in that game. It seemed like he really just wasn't completely there yet. It wasn't 100%. So, especially with no Chris Bosh down low, I mean, it's going to be the Whiteside and Wade show. So I really don't see anyone down low for the Knicks. They can slow him down if he really is 100% now, or even close to it.
Moving over to Chicago at Detroit. The Bulls have to step up on defense. They don't have a choice. They've been terrible defensively, at least for the second half of the first half of the season. Maybe that's a little confusing. But this is a Tom Thibodeau coach team. They're finally, you know, at least for now, rested after the All-Star break, thank God, since Thibodeau wouldn't actually rest them in the games. This team has to step it up on defense. Now, I know they've been terrible against centers. They've been terrible against power forwards. They've just not been good against big men. Big men have been having their way with them. But Andre Drummond represents to me a huge trap this evening, because if nothing else, I believe Thibodeau uses this All-Star break to correct the defensive issues. And you see a guy like Drummond, who I'm not going to say he can be stopped, but he can definitely be slowed down when he's being agitated and he goes after too many balls still, racks up fouls, although the fouls have been getting better with him. I just feel like Andre Drummond represents a huge trap this evening. I'm kind of reading in between the lines, but I don't like any of these Detroit Pistons players outside of Spencer Dinwiddie, of course, who's going to get the start, and he's bare minimum priced, and he's going to play huge minutes tonight. But outside of that, just not a fan of anybody for the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, and you can play Spencer Dinwiddie at shooting guard, and he's starting at point guard, I believe, so that's nice too. But yeah, Joakim Noah seems like the kind of guy that could definitely get in Andre Drummond's head. He's the pesky type of defender that even when he's not really efficient, he definitely makes you work for it. So I'm with you there. I think of that this is not as enticing of a matchup for Drummond as it some may seem.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I just think a lot of people are going to get burned by that. And on a 13-game slate with a low total in this game, you look at the 193.5 point total, the -6 for Chicago in this one. Detroit not projected to score a lot of points. I'm just not a big fan. On the Bulls' side of the ball, I'm also not a huge fan either, because if you're looking at the Bulls fully healthy, you're really not finding a lot of deals. You know, a lot of these guys, they sort of stick, you know, they sort of stand up and sort of play big when somebody else is out.
Yeah.
But there's nobody out. Derrick Rose healthy, Jimmy Butler healthy, Mike Dunleavy back. You've got, you know, the mess of big men, Pau Gasol, Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah, Nikola Mirotic. I don't know. I just don't feel like there's a real opportunity to take advantage of anything outside of Joakim Noah's discounted price tag at $6,800.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Especially, like you mentioned a couple times already, I mean, there's 13 games tonight, so there's no reason to take chances on situations that are less than ideal.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Spencer Dinwiddie? I know we mentioned him just a moment ago. How do you feel about him?
I mean, I wish this was a night where there weren't very many options at shooting guard, and I would just go ahead and play him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a lot of higher-priced options at shooting guard, so I think he'll be a guy I'll use in some tournaments. I don't know that I'll use him in my cash games, just because there's so many other guys I'm really looking forward to playing at shooting guard tonight.
Yeah, the opportunity cost is tough at shooting guard for sure. I would actually feel a lot better if he was a point guard. There's a lot more shooting guards I like it than point guards this evening, believe it or not.
Yeah, it seems opposite for most nights. So yeah, actually, if he was at point guard tonight, I would be considering him more.
So Joakim Noah, the main takeaway here, the guy that I am looking at. Cleveland versus Washington, this one very easy. Not going to spend much time here. 198 point over-under, so fairly high compared to a lot of the games that we've went over so far. Cleveland a 3-point favorite, no surprise there. Washington, of course, likely to be without Bradley Beal in this one. In fact, it's confirmed that he is out. It's a huge blow for them. The two things I'm looking at in this one are, first of all, with Kevin Love back, LeBron James is the only viable option for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And with John Wall having the All-Star break to sort of rest up, does he come back and put on a signature John Wall performance at home? The price tag, $9,100, is inviting. But he wasn't playing so great before the All-Star break. I mean, he was doing John Wall things, but that's because he's an elite player. The upside was not flashing at all. It was non-existent before the All-Star break just because he was so dinged up.
Yeah, so I'm with you, hoping that he gets back to that form he was at earlier in the season. Hopefully it was just fatigue, and he'll come back vintage John Wall tonight and have his way with Kyrie Irving, who, as we know, is a pretty awful defender.
Yeah, but the weird thing is the Cavs have actually been, like, top 6 or 7 against point guards over the past couple of months. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's team defense more than anything. You know, kind of the LeBron concepts are starting to take hold. Sorry, David Blatt. Don't mean to step on your toes there. But, yeah, I don't know. I've been finding that it's not been so successful targeting point guards against the Cavaliers. It's kind of one of those things where if you're not shifting your viewpoint, you're starting to get left in the dust. So.
Yeah, and at that price, very little upside really built in with John Wall, even if he does have a big game.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at like a 45.5 fantasy point threshold there. Yeah, he could do that, but again, I want to see John Wall healthy. I want to see him cutting nicely. I want to see him scoring more than 20 points in a game consistently again. And most of all, I just want to see him get through an entire game without grimacing after he's turned his ankle a little bit. Those who haven't been watching games or watching highlights might not know it. He's just been having a lot of trouble staying, you know, I don't want to say upright because he doesn't fall down, but he's had a lot of trouble keeping himself from tweaking his ankle in a lot of contests recently.
Yeah, and when John Wall is being hesitant when attacking the basket, then that takes away a lot of his upside.
Phoenix at Minnesota. This is the most interesting game of the night as far as I'm concerned. Isaiah Thomas, Goran Dragic, they're gone. Out of town. Same as Miles Plumlee. You look at what's left, you have to figure Eric Bledsoe and Gerald Green are just going to go ham tonight because there's just nobody else left in the backcourt to run things.
Yeah, I mean, it's been inconsistencies with Gerald Green, but also he hasn't seen a lot of minutes because of that. So they're going to have no option but to let him get big minutes. And we've seen the kind of upside that he can have even playing 20 to 25 minutes a game. So he's definitely going to be a nice value there at 3,900 tonight.
Well, and it's been very tough for Gerald Green as well because, you know, last season when he sort of broke out, he was the number two 2.5 option when he was on the court. You know, whichever point guard was out there with him would be the number one option, obviously. And then Markieff Morris would kind of be fighting him for the 2.5 option on offense. But he still got a good number of shots up this season. You know, he's out there. He's almost always out there. In fact, I would venture to say, even though I don't have the numbers in front of me, he'd basically always be out there with two of the three point guards. That, you know, all three of those guys are scorers by nature. All three of them are ball dominant. I think it's just very difficult for a guy like Gerald Green to get in his groove with those guys in there. And frankly, I think that's one of the reasons they made the deals that they made. You know, the three guards on the team that all are vying for equal minutes, it's just not going to work out in the long term. Gerald Green for 3,900 tonight, especially before Brandon Knight gets into town, I think is a phenomenal value. And I'm a huge fan of Eric Bledsoe at 8,400 this evening. I think if you anchored your cash games with Eric Bledsoe and Dwayne Wade at shooting guard, you'd be in pretty good shape because there's some great value at other positions.
Yeah, and I was looking at the numbers on Green without Dragic and IT2 earlier, and 31% usage with those two guys off. Only 163 minutes, so obviously small sample size, but you mentioned still the ball dominance. I mean, that's a huge number right mm-hmm. there for him to have. So, yeah, I will be all over him at that price tonight.
Yep, he's the guy that I'm looking at. And then you take it over to the Timberwolves side of the ball, and you've got Thaddeus Young out of town. That's a lot of usage and a lot of minutes that's not going to be there. You got Shabazz Muhammad, Andrew Wiggins, Ricky Rubio, and Kevin Martin. All sort of, you know, guys that want to have the ball in their hands. Ricky Rubio doesn't really need to shoot the ball to be effective. But the price tag is right on all of these guys. I think they all have their merits. They all have their reasons. You know, high total game here. 207 points is the second highest total of the evening. Minnesota actually favored in this one before Brandon Knight gets into town. If that doesn't surprise you, I don't know what will. They're a 1.5-point favorite against the Suns here. I mean, it's going to be close. It's going to be high scoring. I'm loading up on all these guys, Justin.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. That was the first spot that I saw tonight. I mean, it's a huge total, like you mentioned. There's a lot of guys in good spots, and they're all cheap, especially Ricky Rubio. We finally saw him play big minutes last time.
Yep.
Had himself a nice game against the Warriors, which obviously a much tougher matchup than he gets tonight. So I'm a huge fan of his in tournaments. I'm going to be having some shares of every one of these guys all over tonight.
Yeah, and there's just no reason not to. So make this game your number one priority as you load up your roster. Moving along to the next contest, we've got Denver at Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks shipping Brandon Knight out of town in what was likely the biggest surprise of the trade deadline, at least as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you.
No, 100%. That blindsided me.
I think it blindsided everyone. When I did that podcast earlier today with Michael Gallagher, he was completely caught off guard, he said. Did not see that coming at all. And the main takeaway for me here is, tonight at least, until Michael Carter-Williams gets into town, who plays point guard? I don't think the Jorge Gutierrez experiment was very successful last time. What do you think?
No, it was a big failure.
Yeah. So, and by the way, I'm like trying to find him right now in FanDuel. I don't even know how to spell his name. That should tell you everything you need to know.
I got you right here. J-O-R-G-E.
Yeah. J-O. Yeah, it's J-O-R-G-E. And there we go. So I was trying to figure out how to spell Gutierrez. I thought the I came before the T, but apparently I was incorrect on that. So anyways, I just don't think Jorge Gutierrez is somebody that is going to A, get a lot of minutes, and B, be effective even if he gets some minutes. I think it's either going to be Point Giannis or Point Mayo. I think both of those guys have very strong cases for being included in your lineup tonight. OJ Mayo, 5,200. Great matchup against the Denver Nuggets. And he was coming on strong before the All-Star break. I mean, look at his last 10. Only two games under 20 fantasy points. He's been over 25 in, looks like, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those games. I like his prospects a lot. This is a guy we know has proven talent in the NBA. He's just always had a difficult time keeping it together for an entire season. You gave him the ball a lot tonight. You see probably some elevated assist totals, and he's flashed that upside in his past 10. You know, has a game with 7, a game with 6, and a game with 4 assists. I don't know. I like OJ Mayo a lot tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. The only problem, again, with that is the kind of crowded shooting guard. So the only other person I'm looking at there, outside of Alphabet, obviously, Jared Bayless has played pretty well when been giving more minutes this year, and he's at 4,100. So a weak point guard position. I don't think he's a bad punt at all.
Now, the only thing with Bayless is I believe he is questionable for tonight.
Yeah, because so, he was a flexor?
Yeah, a hip flexor strain. Not really sure if he's going to play this evening. If he plays, if he plays at point guard, I think at 4,100, he's a great punt. Should see a lot of the minutes, but again, I don't know if he's going to play or not. And OJ Mayo has been handling the ball a lot, as well as Giannis Antetokounmpo. So I think even if Bayless plays, you still see those guys handle the ball a lot. So, but good catch, Justin. Very good catch. I like that. Very nice. Moving over to the big men for the Milwaukee Bucks, John Henson, Zaza Pachulia, and Ersan Ilyasova are the three right now before Miles Plumlee gets into town. Kenyon Martin is basically getting ready to get waived. They're going to waive him even though they did sign him for the entire season. And Larry Sanders working on a buyout as well. John Henson, though, also questionable for this evening. If John Henson were to miss this contest, you'd basically have three big men that were viable: Zaza Pachulia, Ersan Ilyasova, and Johnny O'Brient. And I don't think any of those guys merit heavy minutes. In fact, I don't think Jason Kidd would want to play any of them heavy minutes. So I think you see a scenario again where you look at the power forward position, you see guys like Jared Dudley and Chris Middleton playing big.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to, because like you mentioned, he doesn't want to roll Zaza Pachulia out there 35 minutes, and Ersan has never been the big minute guy. So, yeah, it would almost have to be, and you've seen Dudley play really well in that spot, especially recently.
Yeah, I mean, he's been great, and if any of you listened to the Grantland podcast with Zach Lowe and Jared Dudley, it was I believe the podcast is called The Lowe Post, spelled L-O-W-E like Zach Lowe. Wonderful podcast. It was great listening to Jared Dudley, and it gives a lot of good insight, actually, into what's going on with the Bucks. It makes me feel 100% more confident about rostering any of them and kind of feeling like I have a grasp on what is going on in Milwaukee right now.
Yeah.
Houston versus Dallas. This one, for me, it's a game you want to have exposure to, 211-point over-under, -2 for Dallas in this one. So high-scoring, close game. Check, check. Two things we look for. James Harden, a little pricey. I don't think you need to pay that much for a shooting guard tonight. You have options like Eric Bledsoe and Dwayne Wade. And that means our old pal, Josh Smith, squarely in my radar as the player I want to target from this contest. I thought I was rid of him, but you look at what he's been doing. Highly consistent, especially over his last 7 games. Been over 30 in 5 of those contests, at 29 in one of them and 23 in the one before that. He's been over 30 fantasy points, looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those 7 games. Flashed some upside, 38-point game, a 45-point game. Listen, I'm as skeptical as the rest of you that Josh Smith can continue to be a positive contributor on an NBA playoff team. But he played 28 minutes against Dallas last time, who has serious issues at the power forward spot. Had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, and a steal with only 2 turnovers. Josh Smith for 6,500, my favorite power forward play of the night.
Yeah, and he has to be, because we've already talked about a couple of the expensive options that, you know, aren't in great spots or a little overpriced, and Josh Smith is that perfect balance of a nice floor with some upside. So he's going to be one of the first people I put in my cash games tonight, too.
Yeah, and I basically have like four guys that I'm really heavily considering for my cash games tonight. Josh Smith, Jason Smith, Paul Millsap, all guys we've already talked about, and David West as well. So those are the four that are really vying for consideration in my cash games. I'll just have to wait and see how everything plays out.
Yeah, and it seems like one of those nights where you may not need to pay up at power forward because of these cheaper options here. You could pay up elsewhere.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm approaching it as well, at least for right now. Remember, this is all preliminary, but
of course,
at least for right now. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the Dallas Mavericks, a full-strength team with Rajon Rondo back on the floor on the second night of a back-to-back. No, thank you.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
No. I'm not even going to say thank you. I'm just going to say no.
That's so rude of you. Here's the thing about the Mavericks. Yes, they have a high team total. The problem is all these guys are going to contribute a little bit, and with Rajon Rondo on the court, none of them contribute as much as you would like. Just kills the spacing, crowds the middle. Guys like Tyson Chandler can't be nearly as effective on the pick and roll, rolling to the rim. I just don't like any of the Dallas Mavericks right now. I know that's crazy in a game with a 211-point over-under, but I don't like any of the Dallas Mavericks.
No, I won't be playing any of them. I mean, 12 other games to choose from. No thanks.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling as well. Next up on the list, Portland versus Utah, 191-point over-under, so just abysmal. -4.5 for Portland in this one, so an extremely low team total for the Utah Jazz. But luckily for us, we don't need a lot of points scored. In fact, if a lot of points aren't being scored, it probably means our man, the Stifle Tower, is doing his job. Rudy Gobert, your number one value play of the night, $5,700. Gonna play around 35 minutes, most likely, maybe even more. The Stifle Tower is ready to destroy. He's moving into the starting lineup with Enes Kanter out of town. I'm looking for a huge second half. And on the podcast with Gallagher today, Justin, he said that he'd be comfortable paying for Rudy Gobert all the way until he got up near the $8,000 range.
Wow. Yeah, and at $5,700 tonight, absolute steal. And not even to mention the fact that that's just a phenomenal nickname.
Yeah.
Lots of bad nicknames going around. That one's incredible.
It is. It's absolutely incredible. And I believe the stat that I saw was that Rudy Gobert holds opponents to the lowest field goal percentage at the rim of any player in the league this season.
Which is just incredibly impressive. And now at this price, I mean, you absolutely have to play him tonight.
Yeah, he's going to be in nearly 100% of my lineups. Definitely all of my cash games. No reason. No reason in cash games to pay up for center tonight. Just play Rudy Gobert at $5,700. Outside of that, low total. Not a lot I like in this game with both of these teams at full strength.
Yeah, pass for me.
Pass. If we're talking about passing, Boston Celtics, Sacramento Kings. Got a couple players for the Kings who don't like to pass a whole lot. Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins. These guys are going to have monster usage rates tonight. Darren Collison likely to sit out. Ray McCallum, the only other point guard on the roster. 204-point over-under. -3.5-point favorites for the Sacramento Kings. So hopefully this one stays close. It's one of the highest over-unders of the slate. And it's two teams that lack sorely on the defensive end. Boogie Cousins and Rudy Gay are going to be in a lot of my tournament lineups tonight, Justin. And the big thing for me with Rudy Gay is George Karl loves to play his swingman at the power forward position. So I could easily see a scenario where Rudy Gay logs a lot of minutes alongside DeMarcus Cousins this evening in the front court.
Yeah, and like you said, those two just eat up usage without Darren Collison on the floor. So both those guys could easily have 40, 50-point upside tonight, and no one would be surprised.
No one would be surprised in the slightest. The Boston Celtics, they're without some pieces right now as well. You know, you look at Jared Sullinger out for a little while, Kelly Olynyk still not back. They've basically got Brandon Bass and Tyler Zeller to attempt to contend with Boogie Cousins. And if both of those guys can't stay out of foul trouble, you're looking at like Jay Crowder. And that just does not work out on DeMarcus Cousins. That does not compute.
No, that's going to be brutal. And it's going to be really tough for those guys to stay out of foul trouble. We saw Bass playing well there for a little while, but struggling right before the break. Good luck tonight against DMC down there.
The one little narrative I do want to talk about in this game is Marcus Smart was benched to start the second half of the last game before the All-Star break. Evan Turner started at point guard. Now, obviously, when Isaiah Thomas gets into town, that's his team. No question he's the starting point guard. But just look and see if Evan Turner starts at point guard tonight. Because, you know, Marcus Smart, not the starting point guard anymore by default when Isaiah Thomas comes into town. And Evan Turner started the second half last game. It would just be very interesting to see how Brad Stevens approaches this. So just a little wrinkle. If Evan Turner were to start at point guard against the terrible wing defense of the Sacramento Kings, at least in terms of driving, they don't give up a lot of threes, but Evan Turner doesn't make a lot of threes or take a lot of threes. So that doesn't matter too much. 5,800 at shooting guard. I understand that shooting guard is loaded, but Evan Turner, if he's starting, has the upside at point guard to put up a triple-double on any given night.
Yeah, and he's been actually very close to a triple-double in three of his last four games. So, yeah, he's definitely a guy with significant upside tonight.
Like, for instance, if, let's say, Evan Turner was starting at point guard tonight, I would take him for, you know, $1,100 less than DeMar DeRozan fairly easily. I would feel confident about that. I would feel confident playing him over Giannis Antetokounmpo for $900 less. That's kind of where my head is at if Marcus Smart is not starting and Evan Turner gets the start at point guard instead.
Yeah, and that's high praise coming from you because Greek Freak is definitely one of your favorites.
Listen, you got to go with the value on a night like tonight. There's just so much of it around. You just got to try to utilize the best of it. And I think Evan Turner could be a dark horse for one of the better value plays of tonight if that fictional scenario that I'm concocting in my head actually plays out. Moving it over to Brooklyn at the Los Angeles Lakers, 194-point total, -3.5 for the Nets in this one. The biggest loser of the trade deadline, in my opinion, was Mason Plumlee because he was basically, not only did we think he was going to get a huge boost when Brook Lopez got dealt out of town, we also thought that he was going to be, the man, regardless of what happened, that he was going to be the future. And now all of a sudden they bring Thaddeus Young in, they've got Brook Lopez playing well and didn't get traded, and they've got Mason Plumlee sitting there. So it's got to be terrible to be Plumlee at this point. I don't like any of these big men tonight. I'm sorry, I don't like any of these big men moving forward. For tonight, I meant to say I like Brook Lopez a lot. I do think that he's going to get a little more run, unless we find out that Thaddeus Young is going to play tonight, which I don't believe is going to happen. Brook Lopez should get plenty of run against a terrible Lakers team. He's offensive-minded, and he still doesn't have a super high price tag. For some of the upside he's been flashing. 6,600 makes him a premier pivot off of Joakim Noah if you're looking to differentiate yourself or Rudy Gobert in tournaments, and it's not that far off in price from either of those guys.
No, not at all. And like you mentioned, his upside, I mean, he had a 60-point game, what was it, 7 games ago. So
44-point game 4 games ago.
Yeah, so he's got significant upside, and yeah, he's gonna have to play big minutes tonight. So I'm on board with that.
Now, Jarrett Jack, it's definitely worth mentioning, is questionable for tonight's contest. I don't want to say I'm endorsing Darren Williams, because such things would probably get me fired from my post here at Roto-Grinders. But $5,300 for a former All-Star who looks healthy enough, has been averaging minutes in the mid-20s since he came back from injury, against the Lakers, Justin, for $5,300, if he's starting, Jarrett Jack is out, what do you think?
I think I would start myself at $5,300 against the Lakers if I was starting.
Yeah,
so
that's what I'm thinking too, man. I don't like it. I don't like where my head is at on this one, but yeah, I mean, just keep it on your radar, folks. That's all I'm saying. Keep it on your radar. If you hear Jarrett Jack is out, don't be afraid, at least in tournaments. Listen, he's had a couple games where he's put up just below 20 fantasy points, a couple games, 23 fantasy points, 24 fantasy points. He's really only had one dud where he put up 6 fantasy points. All the others have been 17 fantasy points or higher. In the mid-20s, that's not terrible production. You imagine the Lakers kind of give him a boost in ability, so he gets a higher like fantasy point per minute against them than he would against some of these other teams. And then if his minutes are closer to 30, 35, which he may be required to do tonight if Jarrett Jack is out, all he's got to hit is like 30 fantasy points, and he's crushed his value threshold.
Yeah, and you know what? He's going to be playing better because he can't play much worse. Over his last 4 games, he's 6-for-31 from the field. I mean, that's no NBA player, at least someone as good as Darren Williams. I'm not saying he's great, but he's good enough to shoot much better than that. So he's not going to play any worse than he has been.
Well, at least now on a 13-game slate, I have convinced all of you in the year 2015 to play Darren Williams. So I can die happy now. Please don't hate me. Jordan Clarkson, the only Los Angeles Laker I'm interested in.
Yes.
he's actually playing very well. So I don't mind targeting him at point guard. Not somebody I'm going out of my way to roster, but I don't mind playing him. I don't mind. Last game of the night, San Antonio Spurs versus the Golden State Warriors. Justin, I'm going to let you take this one because your Spurs coming off a tough loss last night after a game of hack-a-DJ that made the fourth quarter seem like it lasted like 9 hours. I know Popovich hates playing games like that. He does it because, you know, the rules are the rules and he has to try to win as much as he possibly can within the rules. So this whole team probably, what, physically and mentally exhausted after last night's loss. They're on the second half of a back-to-back. They're against the arguably best team in the league. And they can't afford to drop too many more games, Justin. I know you don't want to hear this. They can't afford to drop too many more games at this point.
I'm not concerned about the end prospect of the season at all right now.
Okay.
I will say that game was awful to watch. I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching it. And I don't know if you watched it, but the highlight of it was definitely Marv Albert calling out Reggie Miller. I don't know if you saw that, but that was hilarious.
I did not. What happened?
Jamal Crawford did that whole little stutter step and then kicked his legs out, drew a couple fouls, and Marv kind of alluded to the fact that he learned it from Reggie Miller, and he just kept denying it. And then Marv Albert came out and said, "No one in this arena or anyone on the East Coast believes anything you're saying right now." This was during the whole hack of Jordan. So that was the excitement while we were just watching DeAndre Jordan embarrassed himself at the free throw line, but
that is awesome.
It was incredible. Awesome. But either way,
How crazy that DeAndre Jordan set his career high in points while missing 18 free throw attempts.
Yeah, I mean, what was it 28 that he shot free throw attempts?
Yeah,
that's incredible.
It is, but yeah, tell me about the Spurs tonight. Tell me what you're thinking tonight. You are the resident Spurs expert.
I'm definitely playing Tony Parker at 5,400. He looks like the old Tony Parker that we know last.
Really? Okay. Yes. Okay. I'm adding him to my list right now. You sounded very confident when you said that, by the way.
Oh, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, think about other players at similar prices right there.
Darren Williams.
No. Okay. I would.
Okay.
Steph Curry, obviously a good defender. I'm not worried about that with Tony Parker. He looked great. He looked elusive last night. He was attacking the basket. He was making good decisions. He didn't have a single turnover. Scored almost 50 points. So if Parker's going to play like that again, and I don't see any reason to believe why he can't. I mean, he's not going to repeat a 48-point performance with no turnovers, but that was against Chris Paul, who, in my mind, a better defender than Steph Curry. And the Spurs need to win, like you mentioned, so Tony Parker's going to be a guy that I'm playing the most of. I'm not going to go too heavily into a Tim Duncan, and I'm not going to be playing Manu Ginobili. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard did not look good last night offensively. I think he was 1 for 11. I mean, he even missed a couple layups. So I likely won't be playing Kawhi Leonard on this big of a slate, but I definitely am playing some Tony Parker.
And on the Golden State Warriors side of the ball with the whole team healthy, and I just don't want anything to do with wing players, anyone that could potentially be guarded by Kawhi Leonard. Steph Curry, the only real option for me in this one. And Justin, I wanted to ask you, what are the chances that Kawhi Leonard pairs up with Steph Curry at some point, and can Kawhi Leonard actually stay in front of Steph Curry?
My thought would be that Danny Green would see more time on him. Danny Green saw quite a bit of Chris Paul last night, and he's actually a pretty underrated defender. I think
Green's a phenomenal defender. That's the reason he stuck around. You defend and you can shoot threes. People don't realize, like, this is the upgraded version of Bruce Bowen.
Yeah, and I mean he when he originally came into town, I mean they weren't even going to keep him. Yeah. Popovich said, "Hey, do what I say, and then you can stay." So yeah, I think we'll probably see more Danny Green on Curry. I don't think we'd see very much Kawhi Leonard, I wouldn't anticipate.
But Danny Green's still not somebody like you're happy to see. Like, you're much happier. Like, my question is, like, who do they hide Tony Parker on then? Because they, you know, Popovich has made like a career off of hiding Tony Parker on defense.
Yeah.
Who do they hide him on at this point? You know, if the Warriors go like semi big, I know it's like technically small ball, but it's still semi big because like Klay Thompson, huge for a shooting guard, Harrison Barnes, big for a small forward, Draymond Green, you know, undersized as a power forward, but obviously you can't put Tony Parker on him. Like, where do they put Tony Parker?
I think it's just going to be a lot of pick and roll and screen action, honestly. I don't know that there's going to be a design scheme where he's hiding on a specific player. I think there's just going to be a lot of ball movement, him coming off of screens like we saw last night. And if the Spurs do it like they did last night, I mean, it was really effective. The defense wasn't, but the offense was.
Okay. I can get behind that. Cool. Well, that wraps it up, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for sticking with us. I apologize that we went a little longer than I would like, but there were so many games to go over. Make sure you head to FanDuel.com, play in some of their World Fantasy Basketball Championship qualifiers tonight. A $25, it's $500 plus. I think it's $535. I forget the exact total. My apologies on that. But playing one of those contests tonight. We've also got other great contests for you to enter there. And make sure you head to rotogrinders.com. Check out some of the content that we have available today. Justin, thus ends the marathon of podcasting for this morning, this afternoon. We will be back on Monday, bright and early, to give you what will hopefully be a little less chaotic of an affair. And outside of that, have yourselves a great weekend. Best of luck in your contest tonight. Peace out.